this is Randy, and this is more of our ATX Fest coverage. Last one, we're talking about Grandfathered, and I talked, this was a fun one to do because it was a round table, and I did it with three other journalists, the Web Vixen, someone from Talk Nerdy to Us, and someone from IBS, International Business Times. And we all asked questions. We sort of took turns one at a time asking questions. Danny Chun, the executive producer, and Padgett Brewster and Josh Peck, two of the stars, sort of answered questions. We got a half-hour interview. It was fantastic. We had a lot of interesting stuff here. So the other voices you hear will not be me. They're not official TV dudes, but we did an interview together, and I think it turned out great. Hope you guys enjoy it.
So I was wondering where the concept for the show first came about, because it's such the characters are so interesting. I just wonder what sparked this Grandfathered.
It came from John and I just wanting to, create something for John. And so it was really just something that was like sort of tailored for him, he's such a star, he's such a TV star, and we just wanted to do something that was just really like kind of right in his wheelhouse, and then and so it seemed like just the perfect time for him to do a part like this. The character, is really inspired by him, his real life.
You could kind of tell.
Yeah. And I think that he does an amazing job, and I think it's partially because it's just a role that was kind of built for him. And then just like the kind of the really interesting stuff that kind of, in my opinion, sort of makes the show exciting, are these kind of the more complicated relationships that kind of came about from this really simple concept of like John's a grandfather. Like, that's a very, very basic like sitcom-y concept, but what me and Dan Fogelman, who's the executive producer, what we got really excited about was doing that, but then kind of like digging in and really finding what was really interesting about it, and not just playing that simple concept as just like that's the show. The relationship with the son, like what would be like the most interesting version of the son, to kind of give it texture, and then we got really excited about like who's the woman, and so it kind of sprouted out from there. So like Dan Fogelman always said it's the most sitcom-y concept in the world, but we're gonna do like the most sophisticated version of it that we can.
Were you like freaking out when you found out that you were gonna play John Stamos's son?
Oh, I wanted to like call up 13-year-old chubby Josh and be like, everything's gonna work out just fine. I would have had a lot less worries growing up had I known that I would be even semi-passable as John Stamos' son. So, yeah, it was completely unbelievable. And I don't know if it was the same for you, but of course you know John Stamos. I grew up with Full House. But then being around sort of his, in his universe, and when you mention him to other people, you realize, like, what a true household name this guy is. And he's sort of beloved by the whole world. And, so many of my friends, I don't know if you would like this, so many of my friends' moms were like, yo, hook me up with Stamos. Like, let me come by set. Let me talk to him. So it's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
You just recently came off Community, or at least that's the most thing. I've been a fan of yours since Friends, but Community is the thing that's like right in my mind.
Oh,
and that's a Yahoo screen. How is the difference between working on something like Community and working on something like Grandfather?
Honestly, I didn't see like a studio network difference.
Really?
No, I mean, it wasn't like we shot in a basement in a business building next to the LA River in the back lot at CBS. So maybe it's not the best stage, but it worked for Community. I didn't see a lack of support or anything. I think Yahoo felt the same to me. I had guested the year before on Community when it was at Paramount for NBC, and I didn't see a difference. Everyone had a dressing room, and the craft service was great.
Cool.
I mean, the hours were better on this.
Oh, right. If they were worse, that'd be pretty.
They were worse than Community.
I've only seen about 5 minutes, like the 5 minute sizzle reel. I haven't seen the full thing, so I was just interested in finding a little bit more about both of your characters. I mean, I know the roles you play, but a little more into who they are and how they fit into the story, besides the obvious, like.
Yeah. Go for it.
Oh, you go. You go. You're better at it. Let me think. I have to think.
So I play Gerald, and Padgett plays my mom, and it's just been the two of us my entire life because I had never met my father, and weirdly similar to my real life, actually. I'm getting real deal over here.
Oh, oh wow. Yeah.
But what's crazy is that when I had the audition scene, it was sort of, it was written as sort of this nerdy character in the description, and so I brought it to a buddy of mine, and you know me, I'm like so believable, I'm like, I don't know if I can play nerdy. It's unbelievable. And he's like, well, this, and we read the scene once, he's like, hey, dummy, like, this is slightly like your real life. And so then when I started actually seeing that, you know, there were these similarities, but my character is sort of like, he's sort of this savant in any way, in many ways. He's incredibly smart and really great at technical things and super, like, pragmatic and logical, but he sort of lacks all, like, the joie de vivre and imagination that's so inherent to John Stamos' character. And the biggest difference is like, John's character is this Lothario ladies' man, and I am so not that in the show. And so in meeting him and my desire to meet him is sort of find that balance, because I know that I'm lacking all these things. And from what my mom tells me on the show, my dad was this sort of super charming schmoozer guy. So I think that's what attracts me to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm...
Hey,
Kumba, what's going on? Excuse me,
sir.
And that's when Valderrama brought to
us. Yes. Wilmer's on the show, too. He's going to have a whole arc.
No,
that's not true.
No, I was like, oh, it's like a big day.
All right, now it is.
How do I answer this? Go work on it. my character Sarah is the ex of Jimmy from long ago, back when they went to the Whiskey and Go-Go and had a lot of unprotected sex. She used to work with Jimmy in the kitchen. She used to be a cook. Now she's a therapist. And he questions that. Mostly she just is, she now has to have a relationship with the guy and has always loved a part of him, but I think it's like, well, a lot of her role for him is, shut up, you made the worst choices with your life, and don't hurt my kid and my grandkid. So that's sort of her role, is to begrudgingly accept this Stamos character.
So how long has this idea for the show and the show been in the making, and when did you film the pilot?
We filmed the pilot in late March of this year. The idea came about last July. I met John, and it was kind of really just like a business meeting, you know, like that sometimes happens, you know, just like, hey, you know, like my agent was like, hey, meet John Stamos, you know, like he wants to do TV, and you know, like, and we had kind of known each other a little bit, like I'm friendly with Bob Saget, and so I'd met him a little bit, and so I just came into the meeting with a bunch of ideas, and like this was the one that I was excited about, you know, and he was excited about it too, because he had been, you know, a guy like him who's so like, who's just such a, you know, such a icon of TV, you know, like it's hard for him to like kind of find roles that are, that I think, you know, that he's get really excited him, and like he was kind of thinking about doing kind of more like kind of offbeat stuff, like a Netflix thing where he plays like against type, and he's like playing like a, you know, like a, just like an asshole who like, you know, like snorts cocaine and like shoots guns and stuff, and like he was, you know, like kind of, you know, that's that he was kind of thinking about doing that, and then like, but then the day that I met him, he had just had a conversation with someone that was just like, just do what you do best and like do what everyone wants you to do, which is like, you know, be a, you know, being like a kind of a complex but good guy who's, you know, trying hard and just, you know, just like go at that, and so he was kind of ready, I think, for a show like this.
So we saw
Bob Saget make a cameo. And I'm wondering, I mean, they expect like Dave Coulier to like somewhere down the line. Any other crazy
hey,
cameos?
Man, yeah. We're
maybe Wilmer.
Yeah, we have no. Yeah, we'll bring them all in. Well, there's a restaurant. He owns a restaurant on the show, so I feel like that's going to be a perfect opportunity to just bring it. It's set in LA, so yeah, Dave Coulier.
I was asking you last night, can we get Dirty Bob Saget?
Oh, yeah.
Because he works so dirty. Yeah. Like, what if Bob Saget just plays Bob Saget and he shows up sometimes in the restaurant?
Yeah.
I want that, because I think he's funny. I like him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, on Entourage.
Yeah.
He did. He was dirty on Entourage.
Yeah.
And he guested on, I was on a Showtime show called Huff, and he played a dirty bastard on that show, too. And I know he loves it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That'd be so funny.
I want Dirty Bob Saget.
We all do.
I'm
curious about the restaurant settings. What made you choose the restaurant? Because it does seem like a really interesting place to set it.
That was when we were talking with John, like what would be like a good, you know, like because we wanted to have it really be inspired by his real life personality, but it can't be like an actor that's too inside. So, you know, we were kind of like, what if it's a restaurant? It's like, you know, it's kind of like you're an actor, but in a very sort of you know, like he was talking about the restaurant as basically that's his stage, like, you know, and there's guys like that in LA, you know, and probably all over, but like there's restaurants that was like, there's this restaurant called Craig's in LA that's, and the guy Craig, you walk in and he's there and he greets you and he knows everybody and he's introducing people to each other and he's just, you know, and he, like, he knows everyone's name, like that kind of guy, and that's really what Jimmy is.
What I've interviewed a lot of other people when there is a child or a baby involved, they're like, don't worry for children. Obviously, she's adorable, or I'm guessing it's twins.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Just working that into the story, like, is it an additional challenge in getting your work done on the show, having that added element, or is it just par for the course, the same as other stuff you've been...
We'll see. I only did that one scene with them.
At the end.
Yeah, and that was late. That was one of the last days.
So yeah, that was the last day, I think.
They had sort of gotten used to... I think this is their first job.
Mm-hmm.
They had gotten used to being on set more. So I got an easy one, but I think there were some days where... I mean, they're 15 months old?
They were... 16? A year and a half, about. Yeah.
I don't know children. Yeah. In real life, I don't have them, don't want them. If I did, I would want this. I would want grown up and funny. I wish it was a mistake I made in my early 20s. That would have been the best. So I got a good version of the kids, but I think it can be really challenging, especially at that age. Because they're, like, in their brains, aren't they, like, fighting for survival? They just want to make sure that they get fed.
Yeah, they have no idea what's going on. It's like, yeah, I have so much sympathy for the kids. They just get plopped into a thing. There's, like, 50 adults staring at them, just, like, waiting for them to do something. Like, they naturally freak out for the first, like, 3 days of it.
Just as a teeny little follow-up, was there any hesitation from John Stamos working with twins again? Although, yeah.
I think...
Was there?
There was none until... There was none until he had to actually do it.
Okay.
Like, at first, he was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, this is what America loves. Like, me and a baby. And then, like, after day one, he was like, oh, right. Now I remember.
Wow. So, not being parents, did it make it like harder or easier for the show to play roles?
I'm all about kids, and I love kids when they're someone else's children, because then I can just absorb all the cuteness, and then when they get tough, I'm like, where's your mom? So I sort of do the pass off. But I mean, as Padgett was saying, like, on day one, they definitely were like, who are these massive grips and gappers staring at me while, like, at craft service while I'm trying to be cute? But by the end of the process, they were much more comfortable and sort of, like, not is alarmed by the whole setting, but babies are easy except when they act like babies, you know what I mean? But they're pretty cute. I mean, we could potentially be talking about the next Olsen twins, like,
oh, yeah.
Right now, well, that's,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
I hadn't seen Full House until I got cast in this, and I watched them, and those Olsens were outstanding.
Yeah,
those were great kids.
Well, there's this like woman who actually I'm gonna talk to, who was like the, I guess like the baby consultant or something, and she still does that. And so
the
John, yeah,
oh
so
my
John's
God, she was the Olsen whisperer.
Yeah. So John's gonna John introduced us, and we're gonna talk, but like, cause like she's got, I'm sure she's got like insane secrets and tricks and stuff,
oh,
on
yeah.
how to make a baby, you know, like do stuff on command.
We'll have a follow up interview after
I know.
You guys speak to her.
We've worked with them more.
Yeah.
At the very end of the pilot, spoiler alert, we find out that Sarah is sushi.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Are we? Okay, I love when you go your over-moisturized hands. Are you going to find them sexy down the line? Like, are you going to get back on that gym
That's
train?
Up to Daniel. I don't know. I don't, I mean, I don't know. I think there's some affection and there's...
What do you
want? Humor
about
the past.
What do you want?
I love that you don't like him.
Me too.
I love it. I think you are so funny. Like just
oh, thanks.
your reaction to get like your the way you guys interact. He thinks he's so hot, like the Fonz. And you're just like, no.
Yeah,
not
I
anymore.
Love it. That's what he and
I
that's sort of what attracted me to the part too, is this idea of this guy gets every girl in the world. And he gets whatever he wants. And so to have someone that he has to have like an adult relationship with was like, ugh, shut up,
right.
is so funny and exciting to me. And that's everything that Daniel wrote. I love it.
Yeah, what we were always thinking about with this character was like, this is like the woman who gets to talk to men. You know, like, you know, there's so many men like John, like Jimmy out there who are, you know, like they, you know, they get older and stuff, but they still think that they can date whatever age girl they want, and they can like not settle down, and they can just have it all. And, you know, and we kind of wanted to write a role that was like the voice for all the people in the world who think that's really stupid and annoying, and just like finally like have wanted to like kind of like, you know, slap those people across the face and like and kind of call them on their crap. And so that's kind of what this character is. And so yeah, there's like there's a lot of ground to make up if it's ever going to be a thing where she's actually has feelings for him again, because like she's got there's a lot of baggage there, and she's got, you know, she's very strong and smart and independent, and like yeah, she sees through every single thing that she sees through all his tricks and all his crap. And so it's not going to be easy if, you know, for them to kind of go back to where they were in the 80s.
I hope there is a flashback scene of them when they do
oh
like
God.
Each other. I think that would be really cool to see, like, where when you were in like really in love with him, and then to be like, no more of that. So
I was about to
also
about
the
that's
funny.
That exact thing that they're
reading. Oh, that's
both
funny.
Paget and John could totally easily play
no.
younger.
Yeah.
And I could totally,
yeah.
and it'd be you,
a little soft
someone,
focus, like a little soft focus lens on me. He's fine.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, that was the question I had.
Oh, sorry.
now I'm gonna jump. So. I was curious. I looked at your IMDb before I started this, and I saw that you worked on Happy Endings and Trophy Wife, both of which I loved. I'm still heartbroken that both are gone.
Thanks.
As well as Simpsons and Office. And so you've done a lot of comedy, as have both of you guys have done a fair amount of comedy. And I was wondering what lessons in general you've learned that you've brought to Grand Flight about comedy.
Oh, that's interesting. I think one thing I don't think I've ever really learned anything, because anytime you think you know something, you end up like thinking you're wrong, especially when it comes to comedy, which is such a kind of almost like magical thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to kind of pin it down in terms of like it's a science, but what I'm going for, I think, and with this show is comedy that's really, really based in character and really grounded in reality in some way, as opposed to the kind of comedy which I respect and the love, that's kind of like more jokey comedy where, you know, this kind of, you know, there's you know, you're kind of writing these really kind of beautiful standalone jokes and having the actors kind of say them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like The Office, I think at its best was like really grounded in character, and I think that's why like you were able to laugh, but then also at the end of the episode you're also able to, you know, cry or just, you know, be moved. And that's really what we're trying to do with this show. You know, is have it be a comedy that also people really get invested in and care about. Because I think in TV these days, where there's like so many different places you can watch TV, there's like series on Hulu and on, you know, Yahoo and all these things, there's so many options. I just think, like, for my own self, the things that I want to watch are where I care about the stories, and like I want to see the next episode and like see what happens, you know, and so that's the kind of show that I want to do here.
I'm really curious to see more of the relationship between your character and Yumi's mom, and how that kind of plays out with the, like, how this all kind of came to be. So what can you tell us about that, for both of you, what you can tell us about that dynamic, that relationship?
Well, I think it was sort of inspired casting on Danny's end to cast someone like Christina, because she's sort of like, even in real life, she's like a pop star and she, you know, dates Lil Wayne, and I sort of sit back in awe of her and just like her natural sort of dopeness. And I can allow that to sort of translate to my character Gerald, who sort of similarly had this one-off night with her, like where she just was probably had a little bit too much to drink, and all of a sudden they had this great baby as a result. But the truth is that he's very much in love with her, and she seems for the most part to be sort of oblivious of him. So it'll be an interesting sort of journey to see him going after her, and then I think inevitably there's going to have to come a point where he sort of accepts the fact that maybe he never will have her, and then trying to date other women, because Gerald's not a natural coxman by any means. But he's going to have to acquire, I think, some skills, and I'm sure you know, Jimmy's character will help him in that, and probably aided with a couple adult beverages and whatnot. So it'll be exciting. It'll be a fun thing to play, because I feel like that's so true to life, you know, is trying to figure out the best way to be attractive to the other sex, you know.
I'm also hoping for like a father-son night out or something like that.
Oh, I think Danny's got one of those.
Yeah.
We'll try working in.
I think that'll be magic.
Yeah.
So this being the ATX Festival, what kind of TV shows do you guys watch?
What do you like?
I watch mostly like cooking shows and I binge watched Grace and Frankie and Orange is the New Black, and I will binge watch great fictionalized, like serialized shows. But then mostly I like to cook when I'm at home, so I'm watching anything Anthony Bourdain or Gordon Ramsay, and then also all of the What Not to Wear and Project Runway and All Stars. I watch a lot of reality.
Nothing wrong with that.
I like it.
Chopped is one of my favorite shows.
I like it.
Chopped.
Cutthroat so Kitchen. But like, I like to have a cooking show on while I'm cooking, and that's why I was so excited when you were asking me during the pilot. You said, you know, maybe Sarah goes into the kitchen at some point. I was like, good, because that's really all I do, man. Like, I have no other skills. I can't. But I can chop pretty fast, and I like to cook. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
What do you watch?
I watch House of Cards. I like all that stuff. Transparent was awesome.
I love binge watch that.
Oh, so good.
Great.
And then, yeah, my girlfriend does like the Kardashians and all those things, so I sort of get that in the periphery for sure, more than I'd probably want to admit. And I feel like I don't know what else I watch. I like No Reservations and stuff.
I love it.
Anthony Bourdain's pretty much doing three shows of the same show. It's
right.
Parts Unknown, The Layover. I'm in. All, if it's got any Bourdain in it, I'm all about it. Yeah.
I like Last Man on Earth.
Me too. I do watch.
I like Nathan For You. I think is maybe the funniest show of the last couple years. Workaholics, and then a lot of hour-long stuff, you know, like Game of Thrones, Mad Men, stuff like that. You know, we were into Better Call Saul for a little while, and we moved and just to catch up like that. That's pretty interesting.
So I really love the scene between you two when you have a Friday night movie date.
Yeah.
The mother son. And it was like very Gilmore Girls-esque.
I never saw Gilmore Girls. I don't know.
I'm hoping to see more of you two in those, like, really like that loving relationship. I think it's one of my favorite parts of the show. And I was wondering, what are you guys excited for fans to see? Because I'm hoping I see more of that. Is there anything like you're like, I really want them to see this?
I love that idea. And I think, again, this goes back to the story idea that John and Daniel came up with in what you wrote, that what I've seen from Single Mom, and the character of Gerald never even asked about his dad, so Sarah never told him, and when he finally asks, okay, tell me about my dad, I have to say, oh, it's this guy, Jimmy. But I feel like the single mother, young mother alone with a kid, they have a bond in the real world that I think he wrote so eloquently, this closeness that he's not ashamed of. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I watch a movie with my mom every, and I think that's very touching, and there's something very specific about that mother-son relationship that I am looking forward to exploring if we do. Because I see what you're saying, and playing it was one thing, and then seeing it was like, I felt differently when I saw it.
Yeah.
I thought, I didn't recognize at the time we were doing it that that's what we were doing, and then when I saw it, I thought, well, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Like, they have their buddies, they've, like, been through it together, and there's something specific and touching about it, yeah.
I feel lucky, you know, like, you don't get to choose your parents unless you're on TV. So, like, I look at John and Patch, and I'm like, yeah, like, I came from that. I feel pretty cool about it. And also, I think, you know, as we were talking about earlier, the restaurant affords so much opportunity for hijinks and tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's going to be some great, I mean, we've got some pretty killer guest stars on the pilot, as you saw. And so it's sort of like, it attracts characters, that location. So I'm excited to see all the crazy stuff that comes out of it. And we have a great sort of supporting cast.
Robbie is amazing.
Hilarious. And Kelly.
Kelly's great.
So talented, so funny. So I can't wait to sort of see their characters develop and what they get into.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Sarah, like Frankie, is sort of the authority figure character. They have to say no. You know, uh-huh. They don't always get to be the fun one.
Right.
But I've never felt like you feel, you always get to do the fun stuff as well. How do you balance that where you're always the one saying no, you're the authority figure, and yet you get to be, you have to have fun and they get laughs as well.
I don't know if I'm doing that. I think it's being attracted to material that I think is multidimensional and great. I just want to do what I think is really unique and great, and that's what he wrote. And so I don't think acting is. I maybe have a good picker for material. That might be it. But thank you for saying that. I hope I'm doing that. Yeah. Thank you.
Going into a setting like this, like at a festival where people are watching a show for the first time and being in the room as they're reacting to it, do you find that process interesting, a little bit daunting? Like, have you experienced that before?
Oh, I mean, it's terrifying. I don't even know if we're gonna be in the room when it's screening, because like
I won't be.
Yeah, what is that?
No,
he doesn't like to watch himself.
You won't watch yourself?
No, I don't really watch it, but I just don't want to. I've seen the show. I saw it when my mom made me watch it with it. Only because I'm too scared. But I wouldn't. I mean, watching it with an audience is a whole.
It's terrifying. I don't know if I'm gonna do it.
We haven't done it yet. It's playing today.
Yeah.
But I haven't in front of an audience. I don't know. I haven't done.
You haven't done that on any of your other series.
It doesn't happen. Yeah. I think Fox really believes in this. He sent us here, but it's in a nice hotel. It's really nice.
That's the weird thing about today, which is like, you know, most of these people, when you like the Empire panel, like the people sitting in the stands, like they know they like Empire. The people like this thing, they don't know that they like the show.
You love television,
right?
Yeah.
That's what we've heard.
Yeah.
Is that it's like they're going to be excited seeing something.
But what if they love it so much that they're angry at they're angry when you do it badly? They extra mad.
You know, you guys aren't the first people to freak out about a showing. Like, I've heard many people, many singers, actors, and everything, and they're like, oh my god, like, I don't want to name drop this, but Dance Society. They're like, shit, I'm terrified for this screening.
Wow.
So it's, I've never even thought about sitting on your end of the table, but how that must feel.
Yeah, I mean, it's also it's all with comedy. It's always like it's so like there's so much. It's so evidence based. It's like if people are laughing, it's good. But and like that's what's you know like interesting about this one because this is not like 30 Rock where it's like it's just like a joke every 2 seconds. You know, so like it's hard to tell more like you know like I want people to be into it because they like, they're invested and they care about it. And like it's harder to tell that in, as a comedy writer. Like I'm just used to like hearing laughs and like okay, it's doing well. But, like I'm not gonna know if people are like oh like I you know there's no noise for being like invested in a relationship and so like it's just gonna be like I'm just gonna
we'll just make up one
yeah yeah
we'll give a big whoop like,
yeah every time yeah.
Or you'll get an awe if you get an awe that's a good thing
an awe is good.
So we have time for one more question.
Go ahead.
Okay.
A lot of pressure.
Okay, sorry. When you guys first got the script and auditioned for the show and saw everything, what got you really excited to work for Grandfather, to work on Grandfather?
I mean, I think the idea that, to Danny's credit, was it wasn't really like anything I'd seen on television before, and it wasn't trying to be like the joke a second, 30 Rocks, or, you know, Modern Families, and it wasn't, it sort of had this beautiful balance of having that heart but also being incredibly funny. And they were characters that I wanted to explore for a long period of time. It's sort of the great privilege you're afforded with television, whereas like a movie, it's a 90-minute sprint, and you sort of say goodbye to the character unless, you know, you're doing like a Marvel movie that you'll get to see for 8 sequels. But like this, you're like, I could potentially be watching and playing this person for 5-6 years. So I thought that was exciting. And Gerald was somebody I could play for a while, I think.
Yeah, same. The script I thought was great, and it was reading it. I didn't want to like it because I didn't want to do a single camera again. I was like, oh, I want that easy multicam life. And every page, I was like, oh, that's good. That's funny. Oh man. And then say, you know, you're in your kitchen like saying the lines to yourself, like, how would I do that? Well, that's funny. Okay. And then I thought, okay, I'll go in, I'll audition and see if they're cool. It's like, maybe they're jerks. Maybe Stamos is just, you know, he's like all about the ladies and kind of meh. And he was great. He was so nice and funny and kind, and Danny was great. And the writers and community were like, oh, Danny, that guy's amazing. So then I was like, I need this now.
My actor buddies and I laugh like, when you walk out of an audition and you feel good, you start deciding what you're going to have from craft service the first day or two. You're like, I'll probably like have a little oatmeal and have a bowl of cereal around noon. Like, you know, you just get, you're invested. You're like, I want this to happen.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, that wraps our special ATX Fest coverage and interviews. I hope you guys enjoyed these, and if you didn't listen to all of them, go back and listen to all of them now. If you listen to all of them, there's an arc, and it all plays together. Not really, but I hope you guys enjoyed them, and until next time, TV Dudes out.
Fanning up the flames, trying to put the fire out, driving our rain, won't put those hot goes out, digging deep again, trying to get past a man's skin, to get what lies within, cause we all bleed crimson now. No one can say it's just outside.